Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
All right, welcome to worship this morning. We're so glad everybody is here. Definitely all of us were made for more than where we are living today, including myself, because Jesus calls us each individually by name. Whether you're in this room, whether you're watching online, there is a greater hope for each and every one of us. Not just in eternity, somewhere way down the road, but in this very moment right now for each and every one of us. I pray, even for myself, Lord, that we would just grab hold of that reality and we would become, just like I prayed for those two little boys, that we would become a powerful force for the kingdom of God and that your Holy Spirit that lives inside of us would just roar out of us like the Lion of Judah that you are, that we would change the world for the name of Jesus Christ and that our lives would also be changed. Father, we need you. We need you. I pray for this room right now and all of the needs that are going on. I know there's healing that needs to take place. Lord, there's relationships that need mending. There's gaps in our lives where loved ones have gone to heaven before us, and we are feeling that reality more and more each day. Lord, I pray that you would fill that gap with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we need you. Father, I need you. Lord, let us encounter you in a powerful way today. Because, Lord, we want to be all about you. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So I know there's a children's sermon on the agenda.
Well, there wasn't until you said it.
Well, yeah, I know, but it's there, and I'm just going to tell you, I'm not doing one, because every time I do one, the next week, y'all kill me. It's like Ashley comes back, and it's horrible, and it's terrible, so we're going to forego that, and I'm kidding about I'm not doing it for that reason. We're just not going to do one today. We're going to have communion, and you get to enjoy your children. Amen? Some of y'all are like, really? No. And
Summertime.
That's right. And glad that you're here today. I want to pray over your finances as we take up our offering or as we just pray for our offering. Lots of guests with us today. I'm so glad that you're here. Just make yourself feel at home. This may be your first time, but you're already a part of the family because you're a part of the body of Christ, and we're just glad you're here. If you see somebody you don't know today, just introduce yourself and say hi. And there's boxes outside if you want to give by check or in cash. There's also giving links online. You can do it that way as well. But most of all, I just want to pray for your finances. Lord, it's important to you, Father, because you know it's important to us. Father, in Scripture, over and over again, you talk about our money, Father, and the resources that you give us. Lord, I pray that we are better stewards of our resources. Lord, that we would look to you to lead us and guide us. We would partner with you in ministry in the kingdom, Father, because it's all yours. Not just our money, it's all yours. Our families, our marriages, our jobs, our belongings, including our money. Father, our lives, they are all yours. And you just ask for a small portion of it back. So I just pray today that as we give, Lord, not out of obligation, but Father, just out of a calling, because you ask that we would give, and Father, that you would multiply these gifts so that we would be able to do more of your work in the kingdom. Not just to pay salaries, not to keep the lights on, but, Father, to make a difference in the lives of people of Lubbock, Texas, and beyond. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So if you want the sermon notes, you can get those today, and those are online. I will try to get to those. There we go. You can either text the word notes to that phone number right there, or I'll put a QR code up there in just a moment, and you can get them that way as well. I know most of y'all see that week after week, but the guests today don't. And if you want the sermon notes, you can do that. We're going to continue on in this idea of about the intersection of supernatural and natural, this idea of faith and wisdom today. And so I'm going to just give you, I'm not going to read you a long passage of scripture today, because we would have to pretty much read the whole book of Esther to be able to give you even the general idea about what's going on today. And not only would you not sit there and listen to me read to you, but it would just, it wouldn't serve us well today. And so I'm just going to kind of give you a synopsis of it as we get to it. But last week we talked about the intersection of natural and supernatural, and how this idea of wisdom and faith also go together, right? So we had this idea last week where we had our obligations, we had our desires, and we had our calling, and how when all those come together in a swirl in our lives, that's where the supernatural happens, where the calling of our life really becomes the desires of our life, or the calling of our lives also mesh into the obligations of our lives, what we're required to do, such as go to work, such as raise children, such as be in relationship with each other. And so when we have a calling, right, to be godly people, when our desire is to be godly in our relationships and our marriages and our families and our jobs, right, then when it comes to the requirements, it all just works together, and that's where the supernatural life happens. Now, that doesn't come just immediately, it comes by practice. And we do have to practice that. And you know, when you practice, you don't always get it right. I in school, I had somebody tell me a long time ago that, how many of you grew up hearing practice makes perfect? Yeah, we all heard that. And I grew up hearing that. Well, I had a teacher who said, well, not really. Because if you practice it wrong all the time, it doesn't make perfect. It's just perfectly wrong. He would always say, perfect practice makes perfect. You know, when you're trying, when you're striving to be better, when you're striving for more, when you're striving to be more godly, and let's don't get caught up in the better part, like I just need to do more. No, we need to focus, and we'll get back to that as well. And so our lives have variables, our lives have great possibilities, but there's also this gap that happens. And I know you know this gap, right? There's the dreams that we have. There's the visions that we have. We did that several weeks ago. But then there's the reality of life. And then for a lot of us, there's a gap. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to get into my own personal life and all that, but I'm experiencing that gap right now. There's the things that I thought were going to happen, and then there's the realities of what are happening. And we all have them. I just want you to know that I thought when I signed up to be a pastor 23 years ago that I was going to get a special dispensation from the Lord and everything was going to be perfect. Just hasn't worked out that way. This gap, right? I stand in this gap, and so I want you to hear today that we all are here. And having a plan is not a bad idea. In fact, I wrote a few down biblically. God gave Noah a very specific plan, right? When we talk specific, I mean, he told him exactly what wood to use to build the ark. He told him exactly how big to make it. He told him where to put the door. I mean, all the things. How many of y'all have ever built a house and wish God would have given you very specific plans? Yeah, I mean, so he had them. Gideon had very specific set of instructions of how to defeat the Midianites. I mean, very specific. I mean, even to the fact where he had to whittle down what he thought he should have done to be able to do that. Jesus gave us very specific instructions on how to change the world, right, in the Great Commission, talking about going out and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? We just did that. There's more to that, being a disciple, but he gave us very specific plans. But and it's a good idea to have a plan. Matter of fact, some of you right now are giddy because you think I'm going to talk about a very specific plan that you can make a to-do list, right, for your Christian life. How many of you are list makers? God, y'all are sickening. No. I mean, we need a plan, but we need more than that, because most of you, there's another great saying, we don't plan to fail, we just fail to plan, right? So we need a plan. However, we're going to talk about that plan. Proverbs 19:2 of the NIV says, "Also, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge, and one who hurries his footstep errs," right? And so we need to understand, we need to have wisdom, we need to have the knowledge, right? But it uses a very specific word there, to a person without knowledge. That's not wisdom. Knowledge is just information. And some of us, we need more knowledge about some things. I really don't think, and I've said it before, and I'm not saying we don't need to grow in our discipleship, but for you to be who God's called you to be, hear me, you don't need any more information about Jesus. You have it. Unless literally, and I'm so sincere about this, unless you are an infant Christian who just came to know Jesus last week, and this is your first time in worship, your first time to ever really encounter the Holy Spirit, you might need a little more information, but not much. For the rest of us, and probably all of Christianity, we don't need any more information about Jesus. We need more wisdom. We need more understanding. And so we need that desire, right? But we need it with knowledge. And then Jeremiah, very famous passage that a lot of people put on coffee cups, t-shirts, plaques. Matter of fact, I have this plaque in my office that someone gave me, and I love this passage of scripture, but there's context to it. "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord." Plans, right? "Plans for prosperity and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Now, there's an NIV version for that sounds a little bit different, right? It doesn't use the word prosperity. It uses another word, right? But this word prosperity, that can mean a lot of things. And I like the word prosperity, and I think the Greek translation, prosperity, is the best word to use, because it's not about necessarily riches. It's not about stuff. It's not about money. It's not about resources. It's not about anything that's earthly. It's about everything that God wants to give us that's kingdom-minded. Because prosperity, in a kingdom sense, is way more, right? Way more than what the world can give us. Right, and so it's important that we know that effectiveness, because, get this, if you picked up a handout on the way in, you can fill this out as we go along today. This is a blank on there. Effectiveness is never about, listen to me, effectiveness is never about the substance of the plan. Some of you have great plans. When I make a plan, it is pretty laid out. There's not a whole lot to be interpreted. I mean, it's not about the substance of the plan, but it is about the source of the substance. Let me say it again. It's not about the substance of the plan. It's about the source. It's about God being the source of what we put into the plan. See, we need a plan. It just needs to be in concert with God's will. It needs to be in tension with God's will. And not tension as in butting up against Him, but tension as in it needs to be held together by God's will. And when it's not, that's not always when it goes very well. Because what has been your life plan that not necessarily always included Jesus, and how's that going today? And regardless of if you really consulted God or not, because we didn't all do that growing up or when we started out or whatever, but how's it? Have you integrated Him now? Think about your marriage. Think about just everything that's going on in your life. Think about your jobs. Think about your resources. Think about your income. Think about your house. Think about your cars. Think about your health. Think about your, it just goes on and on and on. Where have you incorporated God into that, and where have you not? Where is it held in tension? See, because the reality of life is, I really had planned, I'm about to be, I can't believe it. I mean, it just pains me seriously. I have never hated a birthday, but 55, I think, is going to bother me. And I don't know why, because birthdays have never bothered me. But 55, dang it, that sounds old, doesn't it? Hallelujah. That's the response I wanted. No, you're a young man, right? But 55, what? Gosh, I could have swore that those old codgers that taught me in grade school were at least 55, right? And they were probably 25. See, now here it is, though. I really thought by this age, I had planned, right? I started law enforcement at age 21. I was going to be retired by now with 30 years of time, a great retirement, all that kind of good stuff. And then I was really going to make a lot of money, because what do we all do in retirement? We become consultants. Amen? Yeah, somewhere. No offense to the insurance folks in the world, but you go and you sell insurance, right? You buy an insurance agency and you take over, and that's what you do, right? I really thought that. Yeah, this hasn't worked out, right? And if I'm going to be real honest, and this has nothing to do with Robin because she knows this too, I really thought I would still be single and retired. And really counting the pesos, boy, it was going to be fantastic, right? Yeah, that was not God's plan, because what I didn't hold in tension with God, God said, let's do it my way. And his way has been extricably better. But for all of us, that gap between the plan of what we have and then the reality of life is where we need to focus today. And so what happens when the gap happens? What happens when the gap gets wider between your plan and reality? Anxiety happens, disappointment happens, depression happens, maybe failing health happens, right? Maybe your bank account doesn't match up with your ideas or your dreams or just the basic realities of what you need. Then look back at Jeremiah, though. He says, I have a plan for you. For some reason, it doesn't. I've looked back here in the index, and I have a pastor's Bible. It has all the answers back here, and I have looked and I have looked. It never said, "Hey, Matt, would you tell me what your plans are so I can follow along with you?" Doesn't say that. I wish it did. Because I always think my plans are way better than God's. Amen? Yeah. I mean, we all do. But yet, he says, I have a plan for you. Listen, and here's the deal. If you only take one thing away from today, and I hadn't even gotten to the notes yet. If you only take one thing away today, hear me. God is never absent in your life. You may say, I have this giant gap. And I'm here to tell you the only reason you're not drowning is because the Holy Spirit's holding you up in that gap. The Holy Spirit is floating you. The Holy Spirit is leading you. The Holy Spirit is calling you. God is calling you in that gap to come along with Him. To leave necessarily your plans. Not that those aren't going to work out, but to say, just follow me. Come along with me and let me show you. Because at the intersection of faith, right? At the intersection of faith and wisdom is this idea that faith is how and what we believe, right? But wisdom is this great clarity in the understanding of our faith. This is where this intersection happens. This is super important for us, because if you don't ever get the wisdom, our faith is never going to make any sense. It's never going to make any sense. That's why the world looks at somebody who believes in Jesus and goes, you are a fruitcake. Because they don't have the wisdom. They can't see what we see until, I know it's weird, but until they can see it. And I didn't see it until I could see it. Faith, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. We all say that. Or we have it on a coffee cup, or we have it on a t-shirt, or when things get bad, or when we got out of a jam, we always start quoting this. But wisdom really is about, if you look at 1 Peter 4:10 through 11, use whatever gifts you have been given. Because wisdom is looking at what your life has and saying, here's what I have, right? Here's the resources I have. Remember, I have a plan to what? I have a plan to what? Somebody come back and tell me. For prosperity, to prosper us. What is he giving us to do that? And how do I use those in the plans to make my life what God has called me to be? That's where the wisdom comes. Faith, Matthew 28:19. Therefore, and go make disciples of all the nations. Right? How do we do that? That sounds like a big job. Well, wisdom, Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote so much of the New Testament, right? Who was converted, who was the great persecutor of the church, but who came to know Christ in a great relationship that he had with him after Jesus was crucified, dead, resurrected, gone to heaven, same as us. Right? He had this great relationship. Well, Paul, he didn't go everywhere. He went where he was called. He even skipped over a couple of places, right? He skipped over, back in the day, he skipped over the region of Alexandria, which would have been a great place. Because that's where all the philosophy and the art and all those things were going on. And people were challenging anything that had to do with faith. Christian faith, a God faith, because they wanted to hold it and they wanted to be able to talk about it in terms of tangible things, right? That would have been a great place for him to go and go, no. But yet, he skipped over that region because that's not where he was called. See, we can't, the scripture says we should be all things to all people, right? It doesn't say I am supposed to be all things to all people. All of us are. It takes all of us to do that. So the plan is for all of us to be involved. Faith, Romans 5:20, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Wisdom, well, why do we care that grace abounded much more? Well, the wisdom is, guess what? If you sin and if you don't worry about grace, well, here's what Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. See, there's knowledge that, okay, I know I shouldn't sin, but the wisdom is if you don't ever repent, if you don't ever come to know Jesus, if you don't ever claim him as your Lord and Savior, the wages of sin is eternal death. See, there's knowledge and there's wisdom. Faith. Jesus, he gives provision, right? What does that mean? I just want to go back to a wedding at Cana of Galilee where Jesus showed up and he turned water into wine. A provision. I mean, that sounds so silly. It's a provision. What's the wisdom? Well, don't abuse it. Right? Those are the brass tacks of Scripture. Those are the nuts and bolts of our faith and of our lives together is we have a plan, but how's it held in tension with God's plan for our life? It's to consult him, it's to talk to him. So here's where I want to land quickly is Esther. Again, we can't read the whole book of Esther today, but Esther, she was an orphan. She was a Jewish orphan. She was brought into captivity, and she eventually, through all sorts of things, this is where you got to read the whole book, she became the queen of Persia. Right? Here is an orphan Jew, right, who is held in captivity in a place where she's not welcome, a place that she's not wanted, but yet through all sorts of ways that God used her in her faith, she became the queen. And as she became the queen, the wisdom of her life that God gave her and where she consulted with God and where she talked and where she prayed and where she looked to what God was leading her to do and how she was to do it, she came upon a plot to wipe out all the Jews. Right, she came upon a plot for where she was living in captivity was to wipe out all of her people. And so through that wisdom, she recognized, right, that she was in a place where she could serve. Through her wisdom, she recognized how she was called. Through her wisdom, she recognized that she had to do what God called her to do. Wasn't her plan. Her plan wasn't to become queen. Her plan wasn't to risk her life, which is what ultimately had to happen. Esther's story serves as a power example of where wisdom and faith intersect supernaturally. And as they intersected supernaturally, I want to tell you, that ultimately she came to this place, okay? She came to this place, and this is in Esther chapter 4, verse 16, and she said this. She was going to have to go before the king. And even though she was the queen, okay, this is not a married couple, king and queen, like we hear in fairy tales, a whole different deal, right? And so she has to go before the king. And even the queen doesn't go before the king unless she is invited. And so she says, I'm going to go to the king unannounced, and I'm going to plead my case. So she does all these things, and it ends up happening. But somebody says to her, you can't do that. Because your plan, right, your plan is basically suicide. You're going before the king unannounced. He can have you killed. You won't be pleasing him. You won't be playing your role as far as the world's concerned. And she says, knowing her wisdom of what God has called her to do with her place of influence, with her knowledge, right, she knows that God's calling her to do this, and she says, all right, if I die, I die. She didn't say that flippantly. She said it in a supernatural way because she had a plan and it was held in tension with God's plan. In the gap where she was, the Holy Spirit was leading her. God was leading her. God was with her. And ultimately, the whole plan worked out. Her people were not destroyed. And the plot was thwarted. And it was taken care of. And the person's life that was going to kill everybody, his life was ended, and they all lived, well, somewhat happily ever after. See, that's where I want us to be. That's where I want you to be. It's to know what you want in life. God cares about what you want. Scripture is clear. If it's important to you, it's important to God. He wants to have the conversation with you about your life. Not for you to say, I want, I want, I want, God provide. It's, God, can we talk about what I want? Can we talk about how I want this to go? And can you show me how you want it to go? Can you show me where you want me to go? Can we partner? Can I partner with you to follow you, for you to prosper my life? A plan to grow me, a plan to love me, a plan to change the world around me. So, I'm going to ask you four quick questions. These are in the notes. These are on the printed copy. Here's how can you know where you are at the intersection of faith and wisdom? I think the first one is, are you seeking the Lord first? Matthew 6:33. Okay, he says to us, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you, right? Seek first. Talked about it last week. I don't know how well y'all did. I should have done a survey. Did you start your day with the Lord? Did you seek him first? Did you not check your email? Did you not check social media? Did you not check your DMs? Did you not even turn your phone on? Remember, I said before you feed the dogs and feed the children, right? Did you seek him first? And if you are seeking him first, then I think you are trying to bring this knowledge, this understanding of faith and wisdom together. The second one is, are you running your race? Ask yourself, am I running my race? Remember the race set before us, right? There's a prize that we're going towards at the end, and that's being with Jesus. But here's my second question about running my race, and this is maybe just about me because I think about my personality. Am I running my race, but am I running it in my lane? Anybody with me? Yeah, you don't all run your race in your own lane. Because, I mean, we might be on the same path and we might be going towards the same goal, but sometimes I'm a little more worried about your race than I am mine. Because I think I can run yours better than you can. Or I might want to get ahead of you and nudge you out a little bit. Right? And so, are you running your race and are you running it in your lane? And then also, though, are you counting the cost? Luke 14:28, there's this idea of, when you build something, this whole idea of construction, do you count the cost? Do you know what it's going to take? Do you know what materials are you going to use? Do you know how much it's going to cost? None of you, if you've ever built a house or if you've ever done anything that cost any amount of money, you don't just start without really knowing what it's going to cost because you only have so much money. You only have so many resources. I think the third thing you have to ask is, are you counting the cost in your own life? Because it says this, it says, for which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? See, do you have what it takes? Do you have what it takes? And then the last one is, and this is probably the one that it scares us the most. This is why I don't like age 55. Am I numbering my days? Am I counting the cost? Am I numbering my days? You know, if you were like me, when you were 21, you were going to live forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. 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 The 21-year-old in the back. Recently 21-year-old in the back. Yeah. Whole life ahead of you. Will, I'm going to pick on you. I mean, recently engaged, or just had his 21st birthday. I mean, he's kind of journeying toward the end of the first part of his education. He's got his whole life ahead of him, right? I'm pretty sure, I mean, maybe not, but he's probably not counting his days. Are you? No. Don't. No, but the reason we count our days, right? The reason we count our days is this. I read this once, and I've always kept it in the back of my mind, is defining our time makes us define our steps. If we only have so much time, then it really orders what I'm going to do throughout the day. It puts things in priority. If I have my plan, all you to-do listers out there, if you know you only have so much time and you can't get it all done, you start marking off the ones that don't really matter, or the ones that can wait until tomorrow, or the ones that somebody else can do. Am I numbering my days? So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. I don't just make this stuff up, y'all. I don't just come up with it and it sounds like some great self-help book. No, this is the Lord. Number our days so we can set our priorities, so we can know what's important, so we can know how the plan needs to work with the Lord and how the Lord needs to work in our plan. And so, what does it say? So that we can present you with a heart of wisdom. At the intersection of faith and wisdom, I think we have to number our days. We have to count our steps. We have to ask the questions. And as we do that, I believe that the supernatural will happen. And I don't mean supernatural as in hocus pocus. I mean the supernatural life of how God will begin to really reveal himself to you. Because when you narrow it down and you start focusing, that's when you can see the Lord. When you narrow it down and you get to that place where Jesus came to the table with his disciples at that Last Supper, and I mean, you talk about narrowing it down. As I'm just sitting here thinking about it, I love how the Holy Spirit works. That little revelation to me just then, you know, he narrowed it down. He numbered their days. Are you seeking me first? Right? He said, this is my body which is broken for you. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Boy, and then he really narrowed it down. And he said, this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus had done a lot of things. Healed people, raised people from the dead, got one of his disciples to walk on water. I mean, all sorts of things. Turned water into wine. Boy, I could just go on and on. Heal lepers, people that couldn't walk, they got up and ran. The blind began to see. Boy, he narrowed it down. He said, my plan is the Father's plan. Lord, today I pray that we would come to that supernatural intersection of faith and wisdom. I need it. So, Lord, if this is just for me today, thank you. But, Lord, I think it's for so many of us. So, Lord, take these elements today. Let them be for us the body and the blood of Christ. Father, that we, as you say, would feast in fellowship. Father, that means in partnership with you. Because you never leave us, you never forsake us. Even in the gap, you never leave us and you never forsake us. You are there. Lord, let us take that knowledge and let us bring it into understanding by your wisdom today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So that last statement really is the supernatural intersection of faith and wisdom. He does deserve all of the glory. That's our faith. The wisdom is, are you going to give it to him? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, go into the world following Jesus at that intersection of faith and wisdom, of supernatural and natural. Let the Holy Spirit just break through in your life to make it more than just natural, to make it supernatural for you. And all the people say, amen, amen. So glad y'all are here today. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.